Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
This is the time of the morning where we join our very own Ahmad Parak, Councillor Ahmad Parak, on a Straight Talk with Ahmad. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, shafas. What a beautiful, shiny Sunday morning. This morning is beautiful when I came from the altitude. It is so nice, Shabbat. Beautiful day today, Shabbat.
Alhamdulillah, I like you. You're the early bird and you're a morning man, and that's why you blossom on air also. Alhamdulillah, walking the talk. And now so much happening. Let's first get our update on Kafan Dafan. What do you have for us, Ahmad?
Shabbat, one very important issue that came through from Cape Town. The MJC have signed a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Health in Cape Town pertaining to release of bodies and release of bodies from the U mortuary in Cape Town. But my problem is I have asked Mr. Sayed from Sayed to give me the copy of the memorandum of understanding. My issue is going to be, because I'm not sure on what basis they have signed the memorandum of understanding in Cape Town. It could be that from what I've just heard and a little that was told to me, that they're asking for a facility where they will be able to give us storage space at the mortuary. Now, you know, the Department of Health is very, very clever in this year, because they're trying to put us in a corner whereby you'll fall away from the urgency of getting the release from the mortuary, where we have got a standing order from the apartheid days that any Muslim body anywhere in the country, priority must be given to the Jewish community, Muslim community, and Hindu community. And within a few hours, the postmortem must be done so that we can bury our loved ones. But in this case here, if this memorandum has been signed and they can store the body for 2-3 days, then the issue of the standing order which we have from the apartheid days will fall off. So that is a very, very serious, damaging issue. I'm insisting that I get that agreement quick as possible from MJC. I need to give it to our legal team in Durban here. Peruse through that thing. If there is any issues where they will say that now they will be able to keep the bodies for a few days before they do the post-mortem, then we will be in a corner. And I'm going to insist that I bring an order where that memorandum of understanding does not exist, and that must be void, because we will go out and get from the other eight provinces what we have in place. They are compelled to do our postmortem urgently and quick as possible to give to us, to our Muslim undertakers, so that we can bury our loved ones. That is my very, very big issue that has come through to my ears, and I have already insisted that they must give us the document so I can have a look at it and see what it is, because I think they have put us in a corner, and they have, you know, MJC like name and fame, but they're not seeing the bigger picture. They are saying that we fall like any other religion in the country, that you can keep the bodies for a few days. Now, that is a problem that I'm faced with, and I'm a little bit worried that they should have consulted me. They know I'm a fundi when it comes to the Dafan, and especially the mortuary matters. So that is an issue that we will be taking seriously. But other than that, in this month of Ramzan, Shafat, we've been very, very quiet in the whole country, and there was no major issues or anything. Only one or two cases we had here in KZN in terms of the disaster. where our loved ones was taken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taken them. But that I managed to get the postmortem done quick as possible. There was one issue in Pakrani where it took us a few days, but that too the postmortem was done, and we have taken that matter very, very seriously with the Department of Health. And the person who is the head of Dr. Nsela, who is on leave, he did send me a reply already. As soon as he gets back from leave, he's going to be meeting with me, so we'll be able to circumvent that issue, that in future it doesn't happen, Shabbat.
MashaAllah, well done there, Ahmed. Looking at a message, Abdul says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat. Please ask Ahmed Parak, do we still bury in plastic bags? Is the same COVID protocol followed, or is it all over? Ahmed, are they still using those plastic body bags?
Shafaat, yes, they use plastic body bags when they're picking up from the scene of accidents. When they're picking up from disaster management issues, if there's a drowning or anything like that, and when they're releasing the bodies from the government mortuary to the undertaker. But in terms of the COVID Act, we have written to the Department of Health, and because of decomposition, they have found out that the body does not decompose in time, so therefore they have disallowed to use the body bags when they're doing the actual burial.
Looking at this question here, says, Assalamu alaikum, Chef and Ahmed Parak. I'm a beach boy. I just want to tell Ahmed Parak we're still out of lights here. Nothing's happening. They promised us to fix the lights. Now it's not fixed again. And Eid's coming soon. Seems like we in Swinger Beach will not have the lights. What's going on, Ahmed? These guys are very incompetent. Now we ask them, they say we don't have enough staff to do the work. What's really happening at the Itikweni? Suddenly, they're short of staff when it comes to Zipingo Beach. But for other areas, they got a lot of staff. How do you react to that, Ahmed?
Shafaat, we at council at the Itikweni municipality have taken a decision. And the decision was, first, number one priority must be given to all the industries, which they have done. Secondly, then they will go to all the residential area. Zipingo Beach did get power. And then what happened was, because of whatever we are doing, and people on the ground need to know that, and the residents need to know that as well, we are doing temporary patchwork. Now, especially in Spingo, because of Toyota and Motor Assemblies, which we call, they need a lot of power. In terms of what they need, and we had to bring in from the other province, the engineers, top electrical engineers to assist here in this province. This problem with electricity and water is not going to be a quick fix. And I've made myself on radio many, many times, and to the people that have been calling and speaking to them, that it's going to be, it will get fixed for 1 day, 2 days, and when they start working on it for a day and a half, 2 days, they have to switch it off because, you know, they're working with live wires and live power that comes through to the grid. And they're fixing the power station. And especially in Spingo, the power station is completely damaged. You have to fix from A to Z. Every single component in that power station has to be fixed. So when they're fixing on a 24-hour basis to get the power in Spingo Beach and the industries around Spingo, they have to put it on and they'll have to put it off. When they fix one section of it, you will get power, and then when they're working again, they have to put it off for a couple of hours or a couple of days to get it up and running, because they're working flat out, especially Spingo and some of the areas, to make sure that the people get power. If you do not give industry, especially industry, you do not give them power, the workforce, they go on short time, a lot of livelihoods will be affected, and that is the decision we have taken at council. We will give to the industry and then go revert back to the residential areas.
There's a question here. It says, I'm a teacher, Ahmed, and I know that my students are impacted negatively. Surely we got our water back, but can the government subsidize generators and give us power so we can use it at schools for lighting up, etc. and so forth? How do you respond to the educator there, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, we are looking for 17 billion and the national government is only giving us 1 billion. How do we even assist the community? In fact, I'm busy putting something together to get money in to give them hampers because our people are dying with hunger at the moment. There is no food for them. They are even, you know, the mattress that we have been supplying them, they're selling that mattress just to buy bread and the basic meal and stamp or something to feed the family of 7 or 8. This is how bad it is. So, you know, as far as that brother is concerned, yes, education is very, very important, but the government do not have money. There is absolutely no money in the kitty that will be able to service everyone. And if the Muslim community and give of the givers did not come to the party here, Shafak, a lot of people should have lost their lives here because there is no money available, and we're doing our utmost best to make sure to get services to the community and the schools and everything. We know, you know, the industry that affected, the education department, water, light, you know, the whole system has come to pass. Now, how much can you do with all the resources what we have? We only have 28,000 workforce in the city that is working flat out, and we had to bring in additional workforce from the other province to help here, Shafar.
This question here says, I'm anonymous and for obvious reasons. Ahmed, whenever I call the call center at Itikweni, it seems as if they are too busy chowing or whatever else. But when they talk to you, they don't understand simple English. I want to know, when you all have your meetings and the council, do they talk English? And I know that they don't even understand English. Please let us know what languages they are speaking there during meetings, and also who tests these people to know that they know how to comprehend simple language. Quite an important question there, Ahmed.
Shafat, the city has got a system. When they employ people, they have got a PR department. They do complete due diligence on that person, and they got training facilities for call centers and all the systems, the facilities in the municipality, and how to talk to people, and what you got, the water, light, you know, you got all different numbers where you need to call and do the complaints. Yes. At the moment, there are thousands of calls coming, every single person. You have already got a reference number, 768, and you are phoning, 10 different people are phoning for the same Spingo or Malagasy or Prince Bisheni Hospital. Prince Bisheni Hospital hasn't got water for the last 2 weeks. I'm busy arranging at the moment tankers to go there because there's patients there, and some of the patients are on dialysis. Now, in terms of dialysis, you need a lot of water because that's how it works. That machine only works with water, where it's flushing your lungs and your kidneys and all that. So, you know, this is the problem that we are faced with. People are phoning. Yes, you will get frustrated. You can phone. You can wait for hours. There's nothing can be done because the systems are all like blocked. Everyone is phoning for the same problem that we have, you and I and everybody else is faced with, Shafat.
Yeah, this is a message from Asad. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Bhaijan Shafat and Bhaijan Ahmed. I'm from a subcontinent and living in Durban for past 10 years, doing great business. But please, Ahmed Bhai, can you tell Dudula not to worry me and family? We're living peaceful. We're only making money. How do you respond to Asad there, Ahmed?
My brothers of the foreign nationals in this country, and we have spoken about this recently and a few years ago regarding We are saying in the council, and my party action is saying, making it very, very clear to all our foreign brothers. Our foreign brothers have come here, sisters have come here for greener pastures from all over the world. Yes, we took them with two hands. In terms of the ANC policy at that time, when the apartheid government was giving the black community and us a problem in the apartheid arena, all these countries assisted us in going underground and fighting for the rights of this country. And in 1994, yes, we got the release of the apartheid government totally. And today we are a country where we got color, creed, race, religion, all living side to side. Yes, this brother has come to South Africa for greener pastures. He has come here. But the very important thing is they have to put the paperwork in place. Any country in the world you go to, they give issue you with a visa. When your visa expires, that country, the government knows you are illegal from certain time. You need to leave that country. That is it. So if you came here with a visiting visa and you haven't gone back yet because of our system was very, very weak, yes, you took advantage of that, but go to Home Affairs. Go and do an asylum document or a paperwork that you put in to stay in this country. The government is entitled for 3 years, will allow you to stay here. Get your paperwork in order. And if your paperwork is not order, as I said, from June onwards, Dudula is going to come very, very hard on the foreign nationals in this country because they are saying, we want to bring this government down because they need to put their home affairs in place so that we don't have illegal foreigners here. Because you must understand, all these foreigners come here. As that brother Asad said, he came here to make money. Find out from Asar if he's registered to pay PAYE, UIF, if he's paying all his taxes. No, they don't pay. They make gold money here. They use all our infrastructure here, Shafat, but there is no taxes paid. So that is also one of the reasons why our system is falling apart, because where you're supposed to be having 30 million South Africans, now you got almost 60 million people living in South Africa. So you need to service for 60 million people in the country. You need to give them services. To give them services, you have to have your rates and tax. Your VA VAT need to be paid. PAYE, all your services, what you have to pay to the government, that's the money that we use to get our services up and running, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, I give you full marks, and people understand Ahmed Parak where it's coming from, because Ahmed is also a businessman besides being a community person and so forth. But he knows what he's talking about. You know, literally, if you're not paying UIF and you're not paying taxes, I'm sure a lot of businessmen, local businessmen that are born in this country, share your sentiments, Ahmed.
Yes, 100%. Take UIF, Shafat. If that brother, he's got a business and he employed maybe 3, 4 local South Africans. Now, those local South Africans are hungry and they're working for him. For whatever reason, they leave him. Those workers can't go to UIF and collect UIF from the government where they can give you six months UIF, because the brother hasn't registered with UIF. He hasn't paid his subs to the government, so that person is out of work. He cannot go and pick up. Yet he might be working for him for 3-4 years. So that is the problem.
You know, perhaps they look at it as a saving. And if a businessman absconds in paying a UIF and doesn't register his workers properly, what are the repercussions, and perhaps what is a jail term or a fine on that, Ahmed?
What happens in a case like that? Say you running a business and you've got workers there. Take a figure of 10 workers and you're running this business for 3 years. For whatever reason, you closed down. Now you decided, I'm a foreign national. I'm leaving here. I'm not happy. Duduza is putting pressure on me. I can't, Home Affairs have not put my paperwork in place. I have decided now, you know what, I made enough money, I'm going back to my country. Those were 10 workers, they go now to the Department of Labor. They make an application that they want UIF. The UIF inspector then is compelled to go to look for this person. When he goes to look for this person, there's no more company left. So those 10 people, they can't do anything because that person, one, he didn't register for UIF. Secondly, employed workers, he didn't follow the rules of the country in terms of registering people for UIF, PAY, and UIF, workman's composition is all put in place that anything happens after service, you're working for a company, you can go and claim. Take workman's compensation. If you get hurt in a company, you can go to the Department of Labor. You can get money for the next 6 months. You know, there's a pro rata system that is worked that you will be able to get X amount from whatever contribution that you made and the employer made to the Department of Labor. So this is what happens. People don't understand that by not paying the UIF, workman's compensation, PAYE, it's a problem because when a person leaves, he can't get his money back.
Absolutely, Ahmed. They're looking at this question and it says, Assalamu alaikum, a brilliant show indeed, Chef. We really need Ahmed Parak every week. He gives us hope. Well, it goes on to say, Ward 90, Ahmed, why is it inclusive of Spingo Hills, Pingo Rail, Isipingo Beach, Orient Park, and Lotus Park? This is not fair because the councillor cannot be at all different places at one time. And this is quite a big place. Surely they should have had more than one councillor. How do you respond to that contribution this morning, Ahmed?
Shafat, when they did the demarcations, they brought previously Ward 90 was Spingo Beach, Spingo Hills, and part of the old airport. Then they extended Spingo, Lotus Park, Malagasy. They made it into one area and made it into one ward. That is the problem. Now, you see the issue in the old days, it was much better. You elect a mayor of Spingo where they had the town council. The town council, the system did work because the town councillors and the people that the town council manager was responsible to only look after that area, or you take that same Ward 90, you'll be able to do much better. But the problem now, when they did the new demarcation over the years, and the ANC government made it wider for voting purposes and all that, because they knew if you take only the Indian area, they will be bombarded, and that's where the DA comes in very, very strongly, because DA was very, it's still strong with the Indian community, and that's what it is. So you'll find there's no services wherever DA has won outright. So you'll have to wait a little bit longer, but you will get service because people are paying rates and tax. So that is the issue, that they opened it up more to bring in a little bit black township, black areas into Ward 90 so they can get the votes to knock the other opposition parties. And all. That was the main reason that they have done this, Shafa.
Absolutely. Well said there, Ahmed. Looking at this question, it says, Ahmed, Jazakallah Khair, you walk the talk, and when you say a thing, we listen and we believe you. But Ahmed, still no water in parts of KZN after empty promises from officials and from councillors who are lying to the people. What do we do to them? How can we bring them to accountability? Very good question there, Ahmed.
Shafat, in the same radio station, 4 weeks ago, I said, 17, if you remember clearly, 17 was the number of reservoirs in the city. There was only, and I asked you, Shafat, what you think, how many is working? Then you said it was 12 or 8 or something like that. You told me. And I told you, Shafat, from the 17, only 3 is working. From the 3, and I said at that time, if those 3 gives up, what happens to you and the people? That's what happened. You take the Shangweni Dam, you know, where when I first came into the Duckburn Cuff and work, I had a I rented out a business property in Blake Road, right opposite the mortuary, and there was a basement there. Most of our buildings in the CBD, they have got basement, and you will find a pump. Any basement, they will always put a pump there, so when the water level, when the tide rises, your water table will come up, and there will be actually a pump there. That pump will pump the water out into the street or into the mains, into the sewer, and the water will be released. But if the pump doesn't work, the place gets flooded. When I was in that building, they brought engineers from Germany. And what they did was they put the pump and there was a bell. As soon as when you fill your fuel, when the tank is becoming empty, what happens to your fuel tank? You get a signal, a red light comes in. What that tells you, Shafat? It tells you now it's time to fill up. When that pump, the water level goes up, so the pump comes automatically on and the water is released. Same thing happened to us here. In Shangweni, there is a huge dam. That is the biggest dam in the city. The water level was over the top. And they have got special gate. When your level comes right up to the brim, it releases the water. It came through the Amlazi channel, and it's supposed to have went right through to Swingo, and it goes into the sea. Now, because the channels were blocked, what happened to Swingo Beach by the airport, you saw the water level, how much water was there. That is the problem. Now, if we service all our 17 reservoirs, which I said 1 month ago that this is going to be the problem coming, and it was knocking at our door, and this disaster, this rain came in, what happened to us? We got flat-footed, no service, nothing we could do. If we only service these reservoirs over the years, we should have saved Spingo Beach, the low line, especially the Trap City area. We should have never had this problem. We should have had water in Spingo Beach and all the other areas, because when you push water, you don't play with. The old people say two things you don't play: water and fire. The water pressure comes so heavy that it blows everything. You can fix a pipe now in 1 meter. When we open 6 valves, you'll find hairline cracks in the pipe. It'll bust it up, Shafat. This is the problem that we face.
Absolutely brilliant there, Ahmad. And looking at another message, it says, Ahmad Parak, perhaps we have incompetent individuals and officials running our water and electricity department. And he says, residents are now also saying heads must roll for the shocking lack of service delivery that has seen households without water and electricity. And he says, in certain places, when the electricity came back, people stocked the freezers again for Eid. But now, every second house is running on a generator. Ahmad, how do you respond to that?
Shafat, the city got engineers and they got skillful artisans in the city to fix all these things. But all the skillful people that the city had previously, they have left. And these are top engineers they have left to go and do with other big corporates and everything. So that's where our problem is. They need to get in the right skillful people who can run this water and light issue. And which they are doing at the moment. Now they have started because they realize there is no way out. They have to bring the right engineers. They have to bring the right people. And they have to bring in the money to get the system going. So this problem, take Tonga, Shafat, we are crying here from the day the flood has started till today. It's just going on to 2-3 weeks now. They haven't got a drop of water. Every day we're making arrangements for water, giving those families 5-liter water. We're sending vehicles, we're doing everything. My FLSA is sending water. Various other NGOs are sending water. Tankers are going. Alindar sending 6 or 8 tankers on a daily basis to all these places. But this is a big problem. It's going to take nothing less than anything from 6 to 12 months to get the system right. And people have to just live with it. There's nothing I can do. You can take the entire, dissolve the whole ANC in the city and bring new skillful people. They cannot do nothing. You can bring the best guys from Germany, all over the world, to come and help the city to put it together. It's not going to be enough because the systems are kaput. They are gone beyond repairs. You have to, like what you say, you, that car is a skoron koro car, you have to now put it to the scrapyard. Free. That's the system. It's not going to work. We can have the best of the best to put this thing together. It's not going to work. You need a lot of money here to put this water and light to give to the people of, especially KZN. Is going to take between 6 and 12 months. There's no lie about it. I'm in council. I said on the 28th of April, we are on a full council, the disaster management. We spelled it out. How much we're looking for? We're looking for 17 million. And if we don't get that in the next couple of weeks, we are in dire straits to get this whole thing fixed. And you know what? People might think, you know what? You can phone and phone. If you can't get your car fixed, you won't be able to drive it. It's the same thing. You need to fix the reservoir. You need to get new valves for your electricity. That's the problem. New cables, miles of cables you need to run, maybe 17, 13, 30 kilometers to get the system running. That is how bad it is, Shafan.
Ahmed, looking at Gora's message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak, Jazakallah khair for giving us top information and fresh and hot. It says, I'm living in the lower south coast and we're lucky enough to have water, but the water that comes out from the pipes is getting browner and browner. I don't know what to do about that, Ahmed. And to top it all, Ahmed, guess what? I did receive my metro bill this week. Ahmed, your response to Gora?
Shafat, the problem is, you must understand, we get our water from Amgeni water. It goes into the dams, and the dam normally services all the other areas and all that. So, you know, if your 17 is not working, your water will get, you will not get a little bit brownish water. I have made it very, very clear to all the communities and everybody. Please use bottled water for now, because otherwise you will have diarrhea, you will have big problems. For anything else, for even you having a bath, washing your clothes and all that, you can do. There's a special sachet is in place. It's in from a guy in Joburg who you take a 20 liter and you drop one of those sachets there. All the muck will settle on the bottom of that of the barrel, and you can use that water. So that is already in place already. But getting the water 100% purified is not going to happen, Shafat, for a long time.
Faisal says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat. I know this is a political show too. I said, yeah, but not so heavily, Brother Faisal. And Faisal says, I want to know, everything is getting pear-shaped in the country. Ahmed, is there a third force behind the whole thing? Because it seems like this whole country is getting into the doldrums, Ahmed.
Yes, the brother is 100%. Because within the ANC, there's a huge division at the moment. One faction is the Ramaphosa faction, and the other one is the late President Zuma's faction. So, you know, the Zuma comrades are still, you know, although that man is retired, is no more in government, and he's still calling the shot from the outside because he's got his cronies there. And that's where they want to uproot Ramaphosa for the 2024 election. And the conference in this year, on the 2022 December conference, they want to bring somebody else. so that he doesn't come back into power. Ramaphosa, he's a businessman, he has got support, so they is a third force, yes, but at the moment there's nothing. I think more importantly what we should be worrying about is the service delivery and getting this country, put this country back on where we were once, a very good country where people used to love to come here, all the foreign visitors used to come. Today we're not even going to get, there's a huge indaba from Tuesday right till the 5th of tourism in Daba at the ICC. You know, people will come here, but what can we offer them? You know, we will talk. This thing is going to generate for the city a lot of money because all the hotels are booked and taxis will be used and everything else. Food will be taken. A lot of food will be sold. Alcohol will be served and everything else will be done. But the thing is just, what can we offer? We cannot tell those tourists to come here because we don't have electricity and lights, and electricity, lights, as well as water. What are we going to do? So you know what? The people will see it at first hand. I personally, if I was one of the top Rakis in government, I should have cancelled this tourism in Daba because they're coming in at a time where they will have to be going on tours of the city and all over, and what they're going to see. They're going to go overseas and tell them, you know what, that country is not fit to go there because they don't have electricity, they don't have water, the people are suffering. What are we going to showcase ourselves for?
Very good point indeed, Ahmad. And as you said, you know, they're more about filling the coffers up and, you know, smiling at each other. Hey, we achieved that in Daba, we did this and did that. But then at the expense of who? The local people. And then, you know, looking at this message from Umar, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. Last time you visited a school and it struck my heart. And it's sad to see that these students, over 1,000 students in a school, and overcrowding and no toilet facilities and so forth. Ahmad, you know, inshallah, when everything settles, I'd like to meet with you and perhaps invest in these educational institutes for the downtrodden, and perhaps also give them some dini knowledge. Ahmad, how do you respond to Umar?
Shafat, you know, I'm busy talking to my, you know, I've got a personal legal team and some top chartered accountants, and you know, with the support that I'm getting on the ground, in fact, I've decided now to open an Ahmad Parak Foundation to where we'll be able to assist, especially for education, for bursaries, disaster management, you know, similar to what the givers of the give of the givers and other foundations normally help the community. And we want to also work busy with the legal papers with CIPRO to open an action estate foundation where we be able to help the very poor and the needy. So this is what we are looking at the moment. But inshallah, you know, I'm going, you know, I'm crisscrossing at the moment in the city and the province at the moment to see what best we can get assistance to help the community. You know, we as Muslim, we need to assist the community, and this is where we come in. And if it wasn't for the Muslim community, a lot of people should have been starving now, Shafar.
Absolutely. A really great morning in your company, Ahmad. And perhaps your parting words?
Shafar, you know, maybe, we don't know, if it might be tomorrow or Tuesday, you know, all our brothers that, you know, they're almost coming to the end of Ramadan. I hope everyone have a very, very nice Eid. And you know what? I feel sorry for some of them where they do not have electricity and water. But unfortunately, wherever we can help in terms of water, we are prepared to assist. They can call me. I will be able to. And especially in Fingo Beach, we are making sure that we are getting water from Joburg on a regular basis by horse and trailer, and we are assisting bottled water to most of the areas, and that's the best we can do. You know, unfortunately, we can't service the whole province, but we are doing our best, and I hope that the Muslim community, especially in KZN, have a good Eid, and whatever we can do, unfortunately, there's a problem with the service delivery. There's nobody can do at this stage, Shafar.
Jazakallah khair, Ahmada. You have a blessed day ahead. And alhamdulillah, I know many people are looking forward to you addressing different meetings. You have a mashallah day ahead. We'll meet soon, Ahmad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.